Welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, President and CEO of Southern Caregiver Resource Center, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Marta Rañon, our Executive Vice President.
Hey, Roberto.
Hi, Marta. Today's special guests are Pauline Lee. She's a MSW and family consultant from Orange County Caregiver Resource Center, and she's been there for quite some time, over 20 years, providing services, family consultation services to families in that region. And she's also a longtime mental health advocate in the Vietnamese community. And Paulina, you're also a family caregiver, is that correct?
Yes, that's true. I have been caregiving, helped my dad to care my mom for the past 4 years since he was diagnosed with dementia.
Thank you for sharing. And we also have our very own from San Diego, Marianne De La Torre, who is a community outreach specialist for Southern Caregiver Resource Center. And she's also an advocate for families, helping connect families with our programs and services, and also happens to be a family caregiver. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're thrilled to have you join us because we really want to talk, of course, about family caregiving, but we wanted to look at it from the Asian Pacific Islander perspective, some of the challenges related to culture and linguistical barriers, family expectations, some of the community resources or lack of community resources. And this is really important to the Caregiver Resource Centers. Southern Caregiver Resource Center is one of the 11 Caregiver Resource Centers in the state of California. Orange County, where Paulina's from, is another one of the Caregiver Resource Centers. And one of the goals for the Caregiver Resource Centers is to serve the most vulnerable and hard-to-reach populations. Often, these are families from very diverse backgrounds. And it's important for us to provide our services to families of diverse backgrounds, especially because of all the health disparities and sometimes barriers that exist when working with other communities. And if there's one thing that the COVID-19 pandemic has exposed is how broken our healthcare system is, especially among ethnic minority populations. So I'm really glad that you're all here as we talk about caregiving from a different perspective, a different lens. Marta?
Yes, actually, I'm so glad that we do have Pauline and Marianne here because I've been talking to a lot of caregivers throughout my time at CRC. Some of the conversations that I've had specifically with members of the Asian Pacific Islander community and caregivers has been this added level of responsibility that they feel they have as members of their families, and of course, the expectations as family caregivers. Now, having been a caregiver myself, I know that there were some expectations placed on me, but in learning that, you know, for example, in the Filipino community, the firstborn has that automatic responsibility to be the family caregiver. And nowadays, that could be a young working individual having to balance this responsibility. That could be a lot. And that's why, Marianne, if you can talk a little bit about that experience that you have, because I know you're a caregiver and you are a member of the Filipino community and caring for your parents. If you can talk to us a little bit more about that experience, that would be great.
Yes, thanks so much, Martha and Roberto, for having me on today. So yes, the firstborn is typically expected to care for the parents and really the whole family. For me, I'm actually the only child and I'm also a daughter. So typically in Filipino families, the daughter, it falls on the daughter. So I have, you know, I do have the honor and privilege of caring for my parents who are in their 60s to 70s. And actually, like many Filipino families here in San Diego County, we are a military family. And so that makes me a military family caregiver as well. And actually, my journey as a caregiver starts at the age of 11 when my mom came back from Iraq and she was diagnosed with PTSD. So as a result, the caregiving responsibilities fell upon my father and I. And for me, it was, you know, medications, learning about the conditions more, in addition to, you know, driving my parents or my mom to our appointments. And not always do we really recognize ourselves the term caregivers, especially at a young age when you're working. Mm-hmm. But we are caregivers. In general, family members are a huge role in caring for each other in the Filipino culture. We are a very collectivist culture with mm-hmm. all of the family-oriented values, and we hold that to ourselves very pridefully. And so many of us are actually caregivers. Many children are caregivers themselves because we believe in caring for our parents who are aging.
What you said, Marianne, was very, you know, something that I've also learned about talking to caregivers. It is that idea that family, everything stays within the family and you seek help within the family, which adds this hesitation to ask for help outside the home. And I know this is something Roberta and I have talked about and grappled with. How do we serve the underserved communities when culturally there is a hesitation to ask for help? I'm glad that we're having this discussion.
This is a very important topic. And I know, Pauline, you working so closely with the Vietnamese community in Orange County, can you tell us some of your experiences working with the community and maybe some of the barriers, but also how has that impacted you as a family caregiver?
Caregiving topic is common in our community. We affect family members to take care of each other. Like Marianne said, the daughter. I am the oldest daughter. I have three brothers, so they assume that I will take care of my parents. Case by case, when I first started here with the Caregiver Resource Center OC, we have no Vietnamese caregiver in our caseload. So the barrier to get the community to do a lot of education, I invite myself to the Vietnamese radio talk show. I invite myself to talk to the reporter to let them know about our services. And they're very open because they can be a caregiver to their family member, grandma, mom, grandpa, family member. So they did not benefit to the community. They open to help me with the project. So when I first started the Vietnamese support group, and I say, oh, that's with my social worker intern, macro practice. And I say, wow, is anybody going to come? I do the domestic violence support group before. I do have audience. And I say, oh, caregiving, no problem. I'm sure just the location and try to get people to come, right? So I do a press release in the Vietnamese newspaper. I actually have 5 persons call and sign up for the support group for the first time. So that was pretty successful.
That's wonderful, Pauline. Yes. It sounds like you're very persistent. And that's, I think, what needs to happen sometimes. We need to go within our communities and talk to people one-on-one and let them know, hey, we're here to help. This is what we can offer for free. A lot of our services, as everyone knows, are free. Roberto and I, we talk about how to care for the family caregiver, and dementia is very big issue for a lot of our clients. Over 80% of our clients are caring for someone with Alzheimer's, dementia, memory loss, some sort of a cognitive decline. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this dementia term that in a lot of the Asian cultures is very much a stigma and very much not part of everyday conversation. I know specifically, for example, with the Filipino community, you don't even say dementia. So I don't know if you, maybe Marianne or Pauline, one of you want to add? Yes, Marianne.
So yes, when you talk about dementia, Alzheimer's, these things are particularly, it's known to us, but we don't necessarily fully grasp as to what is happening. And so a lot of times it is us trying to figure the condition out. And at times, due to the stigma around cognitive disorders and mental health, we face the barriers of really understanding how to care for our loved ones more. And that is quite unfortunate, especially in terms of why, you know, why can't we ask for help? And often at times there is a shame that really does come with saying that your loved one has a cognitive disorder or even, you know, talking about mental health, unfortunately. And so as a result, that does contribute to a lot of the, oh, you know, I can't really talk about Alzheimer's/dementia.
Pauline, did you want to?
Yeah. Well, at the same time with the Vietnamese community, when I first started the program here with the Vietnamese community, a lot of Vietnamese family misunderstand the dementia and mental health. So like, oh, my mom go crazy and my dad go crazy and have all these So they thought that the mental health. And so with education, with the fellowship, we translate into Vietnamese, a lot of education, so they can tell the difference between the two behavior. Of course, there was a patient with dementia have behavioral problem. And so we got a lot of great fellowship and communication skill to help them. And that's really helpful.
That's wonderful, Pauline. Martha and I at San Diego State, we taught Gerald 360, which was City and Aging. And one of the common themes across the board was, of course, the different levels of diversity and how it impacts aging and your acceptance of programs and services when people from different backgrounds, but not only from different backgrounds, but when they actually immigrated to the United States. That's a major factor. People who are born here are more likely to utilize services versus people who are first generation in the country. But the one thing that was also a theme, and it's very important for people in the communities to know, and I think in Orange County, it's exactly what you're doing, Pauline, is not one size fits all. In other words, you can't just take a program and say, I'm just going to do it in a different language and that's it, and everybody will come. You actually have to tailor it. You have to adapt it for the right culture, for that particular culture. And I know we've done that here in San Diego with our REACH program, which is our Resources for Enhancing Alzheimer's Caregiver Health. And with that program, we tailored it to meet the Mexican-American community in San Diego County. And specifically, it started in the South Bay region, where the majority of the population is the largest population in the county, in the South Bay region of the county. But now we've expanded and it's countywide and it's available to everybody. And we've made adaptations to that as well. Take it from the Latino community now out to the general population. And so it is important when you talk about programming and services, it's not only the language, but it's also adaptation of programs. Martha?
So knowing a little bit about Pauline and a little bit about Marianne, I know you both are very passionate about connecting the community to these types of services to fill the void and to really address the needs. I am very glad that you are doing that because there's so many family caregivers that need this help and might not otherwise know that these kind of services exist. I wanted to touch a little bit on that hesitation that we kind of mentioned earlier, right? I know that when I was a family caregiver, even though I could go online and pick up a phone and get a brochure and figure out where to go for help, there was still a lot of hesitancy from family members to go outside the family, to seek services, to even talk to someone about how stressed I was feeling because my aunt, you know, didn't understand that it was time to eat and she didn't want to eat. And so I wanted to see if maybe we can talk a little bit about how you both realized to connect to these vital support networks and what you can tell community members, how they can connect now, knowing what you know, that it's okay to ask for help.
Well, I just start with the basis. We do regular educational class and different topics to build rapport and we trust with the community. They don't know who we are. We have an audience growing. At this time, we have about 300 people who regularly turn to attend our event. They want to keep contact with us by email, event. So every time I have a workshop, we're always very successful. When we do a Vietnamese legal workshop, we have up to 100% attend. So just help with the basics. Like you say that every program is different. So I entered the regular legal workshop where I focus on advanced healthcare directive and power attorney for healthcare for seniors first. That's the population we try to target, right? One out of three of them will be our client. So when they got to know us, two times a year, we do the legal workshop in Vietnamese. Then we're going to have one by Zoom this year on May the 20th. So we try to get, we actually have people driving all the way from San Francisco down here for the legal workshop in Vietnamese. I guess we're the only one who do the Vietnamese legal workshop.
Yeah.
So we try to do met the need of the community. So I asked them people in the room, how many people would actually fill out the form? Nobody filled out the form. So we we got some volunteer who do notary to come in and notary the form for them, help on the form, and they go home with the form already finished.
That's fantastic. Good point. Start with the basic. Marianne, when you realized you're a caregiver, I mean, how quickly did you access services, or was there hesitation?
You know, there was hesitation because in Filipino culture, caregiver is an occupation for us. And then it isn't, you know, until it means coming to the term as to what it really means. It's just simply really caring for, you know, a loved one where you realize, oh, I'm a caregiver. And for me, I realized, you know, as a child, I'm a second generation Filipino American. I'm able to view mental health in a more accessible manner. And so it wasn't until I realized I was a caregiver, and actually in this role is when I realized I was a caregiver for my parents, that, you know, I was able to take the privilege of these roles. And as a result, it's made me a better daughter. And for many family members, you know, who are Filipino, that is something to keep in mind, that we always put our family members first, and that, you know, services are only going to make us better. And that's what I usually tell a lot of Filipinos when I come across them and they talk about their struggles. So that's what I would say.
Thank you, Marianne.
When I actually was a family caregiver as well, and it was a little bit different because it wasn't dementia, it was when my mom had cancer, and it was a lot shorter. However, even having worked at Southern Caregiver Resource Center when this was happening, it was not always the easiest to get everybody to buy in with the services. So it's really important for us to continue to be advocates, to continue to share our programs, connect with families, and make sure that they feel welcome and that we can provide them with that support. Well, that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. To hear more of our podcast, follow us on your favorite podcasting platform. We're now on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or just visit us on our website at scrc.care. I want to thank Martha for co-hosting another important discussion, and our guests, Pauline and Marianne, and of course, all of our listeners tuning in. If you're providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength. To connect to our programs and services currently available through secure virtual platforms, visit our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. If you're residing outside of San Diego and Imperial Counties, visit our caregivercalifornia.org website and you can get connected wherever you live in the state of California. As a nonprofit 501c3, SCRC relies on the generous donations of individuals and businesses in our community. To support our efforts and make a tax-deductible donation, please go to scrc.care and click on the Donate tab. And remember, SCRC is here for you.
Caring for those who care for others.
Thank you.